wonderful words of life. Amen. Give me a little bit of this good water. Words of wisdom tonight. Christ and His wisdom. I want you to know that our God is a wise God. Our God is all-knowing, and He is the one that always does things right. There's no doubt about God. When it comes to man, you know that they're going to be fallible. And they're going to make mistakes. That's the nature of the dust that we are. But when it comes to God, He doesn't make mistakes. When He judges men and women in the last day, He will judge righteously. And He will judge according to His will. And He will make no mistakes. You can bank on that. You can trust God with your salvation. He is a wise God. In this world, you will face trouble, Jesus said in John. And we know every day that we have trouble to face, don't we? But we also know that we run into all kinds of foolishness. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll find contrasted in the book of Proverbs the fool and the wise man. Constantly, as you read through those chapters, you'll read about the wise person and the foolish person. Now, Jesus, He also dealt with the idea of the wise and the foolish as well. Remember that classic story, a parable, whatever He told about how the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his, where? Upon the sand. And when the storms came and the winds blew, what happened to the foolish man's house? It washed away. It fell. But the wise man who built his house upon the rock stood firm. Is that something that we... It's a simple story, isn't it? That we just need to... We can live by that because it gives us a focus. It gives us a direction in life. We need to be always asking, what is God's wise way to walk? How should we live in building our house upon the rock? Now, I love the Proverbs. And I wish I had tonight some time to share the 8th chapter. I just want you, if you're taking notes, write down the 8th and 9th chapter. Because in those two chapters... the writer of Proverbs personifies wisdom and gives a whole list of things that talks about the way that wisdom is and how does wisdom behave. You know, a wise person behaves in a certain way. And I don't have to tell you that they're fools in this world. I don't have to tell you that because you see the way that they live out their lives and what they do. And it's very painful to watch them behave and live out their lives. Sometimes they're in our own families. And you've told the fool many times, you know, don't go this direction. That don't hang around with these people. Don't go to that place. Or you'll end up on the rocks and that ship will be wrecked and your life will be shattered. It's always a sad thing that when you see that come to fruition and you just say, oh, I wish he had listened to the Lord. Because not only did he ruin his own life, he also ruined the life or hurt the lives of other people that loved him. God wants us to be wise people. To walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, if we just walk the way that he would have us to walk, there would be a lot of people that would say, wow, that man has got something going on. That woman seems to understand something. I need to go talk to her. Because, you know, she has hardships in her life. She has problems, but yet she's able to somehow maneuver around that. And she, when I talk to her about it, she always attributes that to her God, to the Lord. And wow, maybe there's something to that Christianity stuff. Sometimes we don't know what to say to people to try to win them unto the Lord. But sometimes we don't have to say anything directly. We can just live out the wisdom that the Lord places in our hearts. And then pray, Lord, give me further wisdom that even when I have an opportunity to share the hope that's within me, then I will say the right words and I'll direct her in the right paths or help others teach her further about the Word of God. God has not placed upon us to do everything. Did you hear that? Sometimes we have this burden that, you know, if I don't do this or that, then this won't happen. Well, and let me just take it off your shoulders right now. It's not up to you. It's up to God. Now, you have given the responsibility to sow the seed and to water the seed, but it's always God who gives the increase. You're not by yourself. That's true about evangelism, but it's also true about other ministries in the body of Christ. That wisdom, that true wisdom from above. If you read James chapter 4, James, the brother of the Lord, spends a lot of time talking about the wisdom from above rather than the foolishness here on earth. If we just follow the Lord, then He'll show us the right path. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. That's where we're going to continue our study tonight. Chapter 1, I want to read something in your hearing tonight. I think it's going to be important, and I have some comments about it. From time to time, I have opportunity to sit down with young men and talk to them about preaching the gospel. And they ask me questions about how they should preach the gospel and maybe some tips on what they should emphasize and what they should do. Well, one of the things I always emphasize to a novice, that is a beginner, okay, as they begin, I would say this to them. Now, I want you to read this passage carefully. They may be preaching on the first two or three verses in Ephesians or whatever. Whatever the section of Scripture. I said, read it carefully. Take notes on what it says. And this is what you ought to do. Okay? Now listen up. I say to them, you need to explain to the hearers what this is saying. Okay? 95%, I would say to them, of what you say to the church is to explain what the Word says. And then the 5%, you make application. Why do I say that to them? Because have you heard many novices preach before? They're here, and they're there, and they're over there. You say, when will that brother ever land that plane? He's all over the place. I don't necessarily want to put down the brother. I'm making a point about what should be emphasized in a scripture or in a sermon, especially those who are not used to doing that. I said to them, explain what it says and then make application to people's life. Now, as you get more experience, you can spend more time doing application because you'll know more about making application and you'll understand how to build that bridge between the Word of God and the lives of people. That takes wisdom. That takes patience. That takes a little bit of experience. And that's true in preaching, but it's also true in living the Christian life. God does not want us to make up some idea of what a Christian should be. You know what God would have us do? Follow Jesus. What would Jesus do? Walk after Him. Listen to Him. Simple, huh? Well, doing it is another thing. But the concept is simple. And it is wisdom, you see. Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom itself. When you live out your life like Jesus, you are wise. When you practice the things that Jesus practiced, you are a wise person. You will not live a life in vain. Hear this. A lot of people want to live lives of significance. Do you hear that? They want to make an impact upon the world. If you want to do that, follow Jesus. And why would you say that, Daryl? Look at Jesus. He lived about 33 years, didn't he? He was from an obscure place called Nazareth, born there in Bethlehem. People just didn't know him everywhere, you know, out in the world. Insignificant. He went and taught people stories about the kingdom of God. He helped people understand that God loved them and that he was sent to save them from their sin and that they might have an eternal relationship with God. A simple message. He taught them the ways of God. Now that's wisdom. Simple, plain, and it was pure gold. Pure wisdom. Pure holiness. And Jesus, he died upon a Roman cross, right? This simple life of this simple man who did good deeds, who died as a criminal. Okay? That's what a cross was for. For some kind of capital punishment for whatever crime out here. He died upon a Roman cross, and then he was buried in a rich man's tomb. But on the third day, he arose. Now, the Romans, really, they didn't pay a whole lot of attention to about him and what he was doing. The Jews, they despised him. But God, think about what God was doing. He was rejoicing that his son died. Talk about significance. That he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He gave his life. And people haven't stopped talking about him ever since. If you want to live a life of significance, a life of wisdom, follow after Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 now. Paul is about to pray for the Ephesians. I want you to listen, and I'm going to give away the word here, and the word is wisdom. Okay? He's going to pray. And I want you to listen to this prayer starting at verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom. I want you to dwell on that for a moment. Here was a man of God, and what he wanted for that church was that God give them a spirit of wisdom. Now, there are a lot of things he could have prayed about, right? I mean, there are many different things. He could have prayed for the leaders. He could have prayed for the sick and the afflicted. But here, he wanted them to have the spirit of wisdom. Wow. And of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now listen, verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what it is, the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Well, He said, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that your eyes, now listen, brothers and sisters, that your eyes might be open, that you might understand the riches and the hope that's in Him. Glory. What he's underlined all this prayer, he's saying you're lacking in wisdom. You are somewhat blind. You need to see more clearly what God has done for you. Can you realize that the church needs that today? A spirit of wisdom. They need more of the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. There's all kinds of darkness in our world, and the church sometimes gets all kinds of off the track in what God would have them to do. And the Lord wants to stay in the paths of righteousness. The Lord wants them to be heading down the narrow path rather than the broad path. He says, you got a little eye problem. You know, churches have eye problems, right? Sister so-and-so says, I want this, brother so-and-so. No, I want that. And after a while, there's a whole chorus of I. It's almost like one of the hymns that we sing. I. We realize right then there's some foolishness going on in that church. Got some eye problems. And they need more of enlightenment that they might truly see who they are as the people of God. It has not been revealed yet what you will be, my brothers and sisters. You might say, we're a sorry bunch. No, you're not. I wish you could see what God sees. For God sees beyond this present life into the world to come. God sees your heart. God sees what you will become. We know that when we see Jesus, we'll know Him because we shall be like Him. We'll be like Him. Glorious, holy, righteous. There will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death in that place. We shall be like our Lord, and we'll live with Him forever. Where the church falls and trips here, has its problems, where the church is imperfect here, and the church sometimes doesn't fulfill the Great Commission, then, my brothers and sisters, all that will be past. And all things will be made new. See, that is a plan of God. When you've got the plan of God, you've got pure wisdom. That's what that is. The only thing that God would have us to do is, of course, be obedient to Him in everything. But He wants us to continue to pray that gradually that the Lord will open our eyes. Lord, help me see more clearly. Let me understand in a deeper way. Help me love, O Lord, more fully, that I might be a witness to your glory here on earth. Brother, I'm just not smart, and I can't talk a whole lot, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Well, can't never did anything. That's what my dad used to say. But God can do all things through people who seek His face, who love Him and listen to Him and obey Him. See, God can do great things in your life. I want you to know that tonight. If you don't know anything else of what I've said this whole week, know that God wants to love you and use you for His glory. You're special in the sight of God. You are glorious in the sight of God. And if you don't know what you will become, just start getting excited, because it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. When I was a young Christian, I went to Athens, Greece. And I went to a lectureship. William Smith was preaching. I still remember the sermon. It's amazing you can remember sermons 40-something years ago, whatever it was. I'm losing track of all those years now. But what he did, he said, sometimes people get kind of, don't always understand what I'm talking about, that when we are with the Lord's going to give us assignments, and we won't be sitting on clouds. We're going to be busy doing the Lord's work. And it's going to be glorious. I think he's right. We're going to be there bringing glory unto the Lord. Yes, we'll be singing God's praises, but we also will have perfect obedience. We won't have our weakness. We won't have our confusion. We'll be doing the word of the Lord. We'll be practicing wisdom in heaven. We need to start it here. I want you to turn to the third chapter now. You know, I shared last night with you about the wonderful work of God was to bring the Jews and the Gentiles together. Now, that's not a small task. That's not a small thing that Christ did. They didn't like each other all that well. Okay. The problem with sin in people's heart, you know, our hearts get hard and we don't like ourselves. Have you noticed that so many people are in jail? So many people have, you know, they go off and they beat their spouse, they go do this and they go do that. I don't think they like themselves very much. No wonder we have a hard time with one another. We don't even like ourselves. We don't even understand who we have the potential of being. The glorious existence with the Lord. See, the Lord intends to give us and pour out into our heart His wisdom. God says, you live a foolish life, but I want to give you wisdom. What if I told you that I would give you knowledge? Somehow, just imagine this. Obviously, this is foolishness to some degree. But I want you to imagine this. If I had the ability to give you the power to be the wisest person in this town, yes, even in this state or this country, and you had recall of knowledge beyond anyone else around, and you could be filthy rich. I don't know. How would you be reacting to that? A lot of people would be jumping up, I've won the some kind of prize here, you know. And they'd be all running here to calling people on the cell phone, running down to Mama's house, going across the street to tell the neighbor. They'll be all excited about it. You know this? God says, I want to pour into your life my wisdom. I want you to know that this is heavenly wisdom. This is wisdom from above. And when you have that wisdom, you'll love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you have that kind of wisdom, you will love yourself. Well, should we love ourselves? Remember what Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. It should be a natural thing. See, when the wisdom of God is in our heart, we will cherish who we are. How in the world are we to take care of our bodies if we don't love ourselves? How would we eat correctly if we didn't love ourselves? How would we try to be the best person for our spouse and our family if we didn't love ourselves? How would we ever care about salvation if we didn't love ourselves? It's the foolish man or woman who says, I don't need God. Amen. You know what the Psalms say about the foolish man? Psalm 14, verse 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, there are all kinds of people out here these days, atheists, agnostics. They speak boldly. They speak with authority, at least in their minds anyway. And they say, you know, it is stupid for you to believe in this God. It's a fairy tale. It's nothing that you ought to be following. You could do something useful with your life rather than going up to that church building and giving money to that church or doing these deeds out here. You could actually do something with your life. And God says, you're a fool. Today, your life will be required. Now, that's not too far from reality. Not too long ago, a man by the last name of Hitchens, he went around boldly speaking that God did not exist. Then he came up with cancer. And finally, he went down to the Houston area, and he was in the cancer hospital down there. But he would not bow his knee to the Lord. Died in his sins. That's foolishness. Amen. Now let me tell you this, what Paul would say to that man even today. You denied the Lord while you lived, but you will bow your knee unto the Lord and say, you are Lord of lords. You see, it's better to serve God now than realize that you had rejected Him on this earth. Remember the rich man and Lazarus, right? Beautiful story. You know, here you got this poor man that eating crumbs at underneath the rich man's table. He dies. The angel comes. Takes him away. Where did he go? Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is where every good Jew wanted to go, and he was right there. And then the rich man died. When he lifted up his eyes, he was in torment. I don't want that for any of you. That's why I preach the gospel. That's why you live out the Christian life, so that people might realize that this life is so short and you need to get right with God. All of us know, if we've lived any length of time, how quick it goes by. We have different stations in life here, but one day we too will die. If we are with Christ, we will be with Him. But if we rejected Christ, we will open our eyes in torment. But that story doesn't end there, does it? He said, Abraham, would you have Lazarus dip his fingers in water and come place it on my lips? My tongue is in torture. Being torched. That's how desperate it was. That's how horrible hell is. And he called out. And what was said to him? While on this earth, you lived a life, a full life, of all these goods, plenty to eat, but you rejected God. And then he said this, the rich man, well, I have five brothers. Send Lazarus back to tell them not to come to this place. Do you remember what was said? Do you recall? They have the Moses and the prophets. They already have a witness. Let them hear them. Wow. That's powerful. poor man. People would have looked at him and said, you know, you are foolish to waste your time praying to that God, caring about what other people think, all these things, and you're in this condition because you're probably in this condition because you follow your God. Now, this rich man, they would say, you ought to be like him. How successful he is. Look at the smile on his face, all the food. Look how he says to his servants, go, and they go. And he says to his waiters, come, and they come. You should be like them. That story says the rich man was a fool. And in Lazarus, he was a wise man. Now this story goes on in Ephesians. My time is about up, so I don't want to tell you this kind of paraphrase that takes place. Because I preached some of this last night about the Jews and the Greeks. How that was. Now listen to this. The wisdom of God is a witness to the principalities and powers of the power of God. Paul is trying to teach them, he said, the wisdom is what God has done. Not just what God has said, it's what God has done. Look, I want you to see how wonderful God is. How great is the message of God. He takes different people. All these hard-headed people, Jews and Greeks, and they're all in one body. They love one another. They go to war out here. They hate one another. But they come together at the foot of the cross. And they serve God. That, my brothers, that's what God is doing here in this place. God is bringing people from different backgrounds, even different places, different races, different economic backgrounds, all kinds of things, and that you're bringing them together, God is, and you're eating together, and you're fellowshipping together, and you pray for one another. And when God looks at you, glory, glory to God. Glory to God, what He sees and what you can rejoice in. Remember that even the angels in heaven rejoice over a sinner that repents. That tells me something about the attitude and the environment of heaven. Now listen to this. When good things would happen, when God was being glorified, the angels in heaven would rejoice. I wonder how many angels rejoice over this place when you have love in your heart for one another, when you encourage one another, when you visit one another, and when you say to people, you know, we're having a gospel meeting, and invite them, when you encourage someone that's sick, what God will say about that. I know the angels rejoice. I know God is glad. You know, when the Lord returns, and when you stand before the Lord, He's going to tell you. I told you God's not going to make a mistake, right? I told you God is wise and all-knowing, didn't I? I want to know that God knows my name. He's going to recognize me. He's going to know my face. And He'll say these words, well done, my good and brothers and sisters, that is the wisdom. And when we are shown to the principalities and powers, evil angels out there, we are so powerful. We are witness that God can do all things. God can do all things. Look how powerful God is. And these evil angels. God is their judge. But listen to what I'm saying. People that will not listen to the Lord, they're saying, I cannot do that. I will not do that. I will not follow the Lord. It's too hard. I have to give up too much. I have to do this. I have to do that. Do you hear them? Do you hear? Does that happen? You better bet. And on the day of judgment, this will be what will happen. People will stand before the Lord and they'll say, Lord, I couldn't do this. I could not give up the world. I couldn't do this. I know the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you, but he will also be able to do this. He will be able to do this. He could pull it from one of you. They're just like you, but they confess not. We have no excuse. We don't have anything that we can say on that day. No excuse. The rich man had nothing he could say. He couldn't go have anybody go and tell his brothers. He couldn't even have a little bit of water on his tongue. It was over. My friends, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you leave this place not knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, you leave here and you die, if you don't know Christ, you have sealed your heaven. There are no devils. I don't know anything. Do you? That rich man didn't have a second chance. He pled, but there was no listening. Why? Because he did not listen to the Lord while he was here. Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross that we might be saved. We need to listen to him and surrender our life and give ourselves fully to Christ. Now, rather than later. You know, if you perchance would leave tonight and live a full life and years later, he said, finally give your life to the Lord. You know what you'll do at that time? You'll look back at that 1 year, that 10 years, that 15 years, and you'll grieve that you did not come to the Lord. So many people have done that same thing. Oh, I wish I'd come. Maybe I would not have done all those foolish things in my life. I were to live the life of wisdom rather than foolishness. So I plead with you tonight to give your life to the Lord. He will make it what it should be. He will take your life and bring himself glory. And he will say, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him because he's reflecting my glory. Tonight you can repent of your sins and you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says that we will receive the gift. The invitation is yours. The gospel has been preached. The wisdom of God